This is the Business of Apps podcast, bringing you actionable insights from the leaders of the global app industry and the world's fastest growing apps. You can find more app news, data, and analysis over at businessofapps.com.
Welcome to the Business of Apps podcast. On this show, we invite app industry professionals to cover various topics. And as always, we promise to do our best to keep it both insightful but brief. In this episode, we have Anton Volovic, COO at Reface. Anton, welcome to the Business of Apps podcast.
Art, thank you very much for having me here.
Great, thank you for coming. Okay, let's set the stage for the conversation. Since the inception of the iPhone and its innovative App Store, we heard many success stories of apps that grab so many people's attention because of their novelty, practical application, or just pure fun. Some of those apps were brainstormed, developed, and marketed by Ukrainians. That was before the war in Ukraine. Now, imagine you own one of the most popular mobile apps of today, and your home country was invaded. How do you reconcile the challenge of growing your app and the way bigger one caused by the invasion? Today, Anton will tell us the story of those challenges. But first, let's kick off with talking about you, Anton. Please tell us about yourself, your background.
Sure, Art. So I'm Ukrainian. I was born in Ukraine, raised in Kiev, and started my career actually in finance and had nothing to do with apps and startups. It was just pure numbers, Excel and stuff like this. So I did investment banking and private equity for 5 years. And then afterwards, I went for an MBA to the US and I also planned to continue working in the corporate sector related to finance and investments. But because of the coronavirus pandemic, I had a couple of 3 months just to try new things because the offer I had was postponed, and I just joined Reface to try it out and see how it works. Never worked in an operational company before, and it was an amazing experience. And here I am, currently the CEO of this amazing company, and working in startups. Never expected to be at this place.
So I should say it's pretty nice try, right? For switching the direction. No regrets about not working with the big companies, you know, corporate world and stuff? No?
No, I mean, that world is also great, but I think because I switched gears so much, I learn every day so much that, I mean, currently I'm enjoying a lot, and it was definitely a right decision.
All right, got it. So yeah, too much of a fun and great stuff to abandon this area.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. I guess there are like more than 100, 200 million people who know what it is firsthand, but let's give a kind of a thumbnail sketch of what is Reface for the rest.
So Reface is actually bigger than the app. We started as a single feature, a single app kind of startup, and we grew from there. And basically, we treat ourselves as a company which works on development and commercialization of machine learning technologies for content creation and fun. And Reface App is obviously currently, as of now, the biggest product we have. It has more than 200 million downloads, and it's basically a very easy-to-use entertainment tool when everyone can try themselves in different videos, pictures. They can reenact the pictures, apply lip synchronizations, and other cool features which you can then share on TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, and other social media.
You want to do a better job than Brad Pitt or Leonardo DiCaprio in a new movie, you can try yourself and do a better job just putting your face on top of these guys and perform, right?
Exactly. And there will be a Reface watermark, so everyone knows that we helped you to achieve that.
All right. So Brad Pitt will not mind knowing that that's not actually him, it's you. Okay. Let's put some numbers on the app. How does it look in specific figures, it's the app's performance, like so people can appreciate its achievements on the market?
Sure. So we have roughly 10 million monthly active users, And I mean, this number fluctuates, but I think that's the rough number we have. Also, I think kind of the most impressive metric and the one we care the most is kind of the volume of synthetic content which been created by our users. And currently, we have probably more than 6 billion synthetic medias created since the beginning of the app. And on the monthly basis, it's around 100 million of synthetic videos created on our servers. And kind of the last interesting number is that 40% of the content which has been created on Reface app is being saved and shared. So the app has pretty strong virality.
Oh, yeah. Have you been following, trying to assess and track kind of a trends thematically, or what kind of stuff people are like movies, pop stars, what's the most popular just from the top of your head?
Yeah, very, very good question, Art. And I think we have a bunch of people working full time on this question. Because I think the link between kind of our machine learning magic, the product features, the product flow and content is what makes Reface so amazing. Therefore, the content piece is very important. So I would say that it actually fluctuates a lot, and there are virality peaks that we see in the app. So for example, let's say movies are popular right now, and then something come up in the musical area, and then this this video takes over, I would say, like 50% of the usage of the app for the next 2 weeks. And therefore, we kind of see and try to operate with this virality peaks. We just kind of started launching somewhere, and we obviously try to support them and learn, like, how did it happen? But we still didn't crack the case of, okay, how we can actually get the burst of this virality peaks by ourselves. We're sort of more like seeing what's happening on the app and then try to amplify it.
Right, got it. By the way, Jurassic Park, the new movie is coming. You may pick up the pterosaur as the new character to put your face on.
That's a good idea, Art. That's a good idea. Our technology is still not the best for animals and guys like this, but it's a good one. We may try.
Okay, it's like the end of May, if I remember correctly, the thriller announcement. So it's really soon. Okay, switching the gears a little bit, let's talk about the underlying tech that does the whole magic of the app. How does it work exactly, just in plain English?
Yeah, so basically in plain English, we have, I would say, kind of three parts of our tech stack. So the first one is obviously mobile front end, and for us, it's kind of a light side of things. We also have backend and machine learning production. And the backend and machine learning production, they are on the servers. And basically how it happens is that when the user kind of clicks on creating a reface or face swap, any other mechanics, then this request goes to a backend, and the backend kind of reroutes this request to machine learning production, which utilizes GPUs to kind of create an output, which then is sent back on the mobile. And I think actually the kind of the biggest, I would say, technological novelty and the kind of key competitive advantage of Reface is that we are able to process millions of videos at scale on the servers, not on the mobile. And therefore our quality is very hard to match. We think it's a very good, big competitive advantage for Reface.
Got it. So yeah, so there's how this magic works, and you're not relying on the hardware of a mobile device. More people can use this tech, which, you know, those people who do not have the latest and fanciest smartphones, they can still enjoy the app and use it for fun.
Exactly. And it actually corresponds to a very big number of Android users and also people from, I would say, less rich geographies.
Right. Like, not obviously iPhones are more expensive, and when you're relying only on this high-end smartphone, you're not reaching out so many people in other countries where Android are more prevalent, like, you know, South America, Africa, where so many Android smartphones are being sold, and I can let those folks enjoy the app as well. Now The app has been on the market, if I'm not mistaken, more than 2 years. How would you describe the kind of evolution trajectory of the app?
Yeah, very good question. So I think the first big transition we did was from photo to video. So at the beginning, we had just one feature, which is like our original feature, Face Swap, and it worked only on images. And then once we brought in videos, the app actually started growing. So the virality picked up just massively with this kind of seemingly small change. Kind of the other layer is that we also try to embed more content modification features in the app. So it sort of serves like a box with Christmas presents. So you open the box and you may see like different fun things that you can play around with. And currently we have, overall for all the users, we have 4 features rolled out, but we also have 3 others, which we're doing beta testing in different geographies. So these features are the original face swap. Then the second one is reenactment. It's basically the ability to animate a picture similar to paintings in Hogwarts. I would put it this way. Then lip sync. It's another one where you can make your kind of mouse move in line. And yeah, there are a bunch of others like style transfer, emotion swap, which we are testing in different geographies. So this is the second layer, kind of adding more features. And actually the layer which worries us the most is actually trying to tie in all these new things in the app, so the experience is actually smooth and interesting for the users. Because one of the challenges that we faced at some point that, look, all these features are great, but actually they cannibalize each other if you really don't come up with interesting product use cases around them. Therefore, we also focused a lot actually on the product side, because we think in terms of tech, we have a huge backlog of things that we can incorporate in the app, but the challenge is actually on the product side to make it usable for millions of people.
Right, because if I remember correctly, that phrase coined by somebody in Apple, it's really easy to make something complicated and it's really complicated to make something really simple. It's always kind of a... You should remember about it when you're developing new features, because you may have best intentions, but in the end, the product will not be usable as much as you would love to have these new features in. I strongly encourage people to try the app, because if you have this mental picture of image manipulation back from the days of a Photoshop, where it was obvious that the image was manipulated, the shadows were off, the lighting was off, the skin color was off. It was really hard to make it look real, and obviously it was static. So those days are gone. That's the old school. Check out your face to see how it's look like the tech looks like right now. It's way more fun than you can think of, from those days.
Thank you, Art, for good words.
Yeah, that's just my personal feeling about the app after using it.
Yeah, inside Reface, we call all of these things like AI magic for people to try.
So, yeah, exactly. Hogwarts stuff, definitely. Yeah. I think it's given that after 200 million downloads, and by the way, counting, it's more than 200 million downloads, I bet, for now. You gotta have some lessons learned. Could you share some of those?
100%. I think the first one which comes to my mind is invest in data and think about data, because I feel like at least at the beginning of their journey, we didn't kind of appreciate all the breadths and insights which were coming from millions of users installing and using the app. And for me, it's kind of never enough to hire more data people to actually culture-wise focus people on making data-driven decisions, data-driven hypotheses and stuff like this. So I think data is the king, especially if you're in B2C world with huge traffic. I mean, you can do so many amazing things. So the second learning, I think, is kind of a speed of iteration, which sort of ties back a little bit to the data point I made earlier. And I think what I should have done differently at Reface is I would probably kind of enlarge and empower more product managers and just, again, instill this culture of constant iterations on features, flows, and stuff like this. And we are now much better than we used to be, but I think, I mean, so many users just went through the app once the app was not kind of optimized, and the way how you can optimize it is obviously learn as fast as possible. So I think the speed of iteration is this, the second one. And the last lesson, I would say, it's actually similar to what you had said before, is the importance of simplicity. And specifically in our app, it's about entertainment, and people don't want to wait for entertainment. Even if we have something amazing to offer them, in 5 seconds, their attention is just diluted and they do something else. So actually building things in mind with this simplicity as the kind of the core value of the product is very important. And I encourage other apps to do similarly.
Right. That's again, one of those Apple's models. Try to keep, like, there are so many ideas in your head, and sometimes it's really hard to say no to your own idea, even though its implementation could be quite hard and complicated. But if you know the path, you may just follow it because this is your desire to implement a new feature. But try to remember that people are using the app in their own way, and as much as you appreciate like the breadth and the whole set of features, you would like to stick into the app as fast as you can. Take it easy. Do not rush to get it all in. Slowly but surely developing on the app being loved, comprehended by people, and less frustration, less questions, less negative, less one-star reviews and stuff. The better app will be on the market, but your ideas will not be wasted, but will be put at work really nicely. Now, I mentioned at the beginning that obviously, creating a great app and building its user base is not the only challenge you have. Obviously, living in Ukraine, in Kyiv, that's one of those companies that just cannot be, doesn't have a luxury to be focused specifically on business goals and just do not be distracted by anything else.
Yeah, Art, I mean, definitely the world changed a lot, how we operate and what we do. And at the beginning of the war, I think out of 190 people staff, we had maybe 160 in Kyiv. Which is a little bit crazy. And obviously, like, the first thoughts once the war break out is that you want to make all your friends, family, and also colleagues safe as fast as possible. So yeah, the first week was just trying to figure out, okay, where are the people? Do they need any support, any help? Also for Eface, actually what helped us a lot to navigate this extremely difficult months is that I think from the first hours of war, we were extremely explicit that we're not going to just focus on the business. We want to do way more to support our country. Right now we cooperate with the Ukrainian government on a number of machine learning projects. We also launched a Reface Fund. Basically the logic there is that we have a huge B2C reach and we have pretty good expertise in marketing, and we would try to fundraise more money for Ukraine. And we already raised $200,000, which is good. And we're still working on it. We also even launched an app to support Ukrainians during the war. The app is called Memomet. And this app is basically a spin-off from another app, which we used to have. And the premise of this app is that you can use machine learning technologies to easily create memes and fun content, because we have technologies such as object tracking, green screen. So it's very easy to kind of combine contexts. And we've filled in this app with a lot of kind of pro-Ukrainian fun context, such as Lukashenko kind of saying nonsense and stuff like this. And actually this app picked up really well, and it helped Ukrainians fight anxiety, and also to stay, like, to keep this conflict in the news and in the conversations in the West, which is also very important for us. And I mean, currently the challenge is that a lot of people work on this volunteering, like closer to business, but like volunteering commitments, and our like just production capacity decreased quite a bit. But we stay strong, we keep growing, and everything will be fine.
Gotcha, Anton. And by the way, people who will be visiting your site will find a nice button in the left down corner that will lead you to a number of ways how we can help Ukraine. There's a way to support financially and stuff. So yeah, that's a great thing of, you know, being focused not only on the business you do, but helping your country you live in, people are around you, supporting them. Okay. Now let's kind of take a broader look at the AI field in terms of manipulation, image and video. What are your thoughts about this technology, this current state, you know, pros and cons, pluses and minuses?
Yeah, it's a hard question, right? Because I think every new technology, every new breakthrough comes with some potential problems, and also it really depends on the kind of the main actors of those who try to kind of handle this technology, whether it takes on the good turn or on the bad turn. But I think in general, the good thing is that a lot of companies who work in this space, such as Reface, they build business around these technologies, and therefore it's super important actually to make this area as ethical as possible. I think good example is the initiative which is called Synthetic Futures, and Reface is a part of this initiative together with other startups and also big companies such as Adobe. And within this, for example, non-profit initiative, we try to develop a code of conduct so the other players in AI ML industry can actually look at the rules and the guidelines, how to behave well. But in general, I think this technology can also bring a lot of good for the people. I think one of the problems and challenges it solves is the content creation. Because if we can look at the evolution of the internet, I mean, first it was just kind of the one-sided websites, yeah. Then there was a huge increase in UGC. And I think going forward, we would need even more content. And sometimes it's not even enough just people with the tools they have to produce enough content, especially when we think a bit into the future in kind of the metaverses, 3D worlds and stuff. And I think AI and ML would be a very big part of content creation in the future. So if there are responsible companies, responsible people working in this sector, I think it should take a good turn and actually impact the humanity in a good way.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great that you're a part of this initiative, because quite naturally, every new innovation, small and big, has been conceived by people who are optimists. They have a lot of hopes. They're thinking positively. They just naturally aren't really capable to see externalities, the downside. And when it's on a small scale, we don't feel any consequences. But when it's on a big scale, and I would imagine that image manipulation is one of those things, because as we know, propaganda is taking a really big advantage of being able to kind of break in the last frontier, believing something is seeing something, right? So up to this point, we used to, you know, trust our own eyes as we can see something. And when you can actually manipulate not only a static image, but a video clip, and basically just blurring destroying the difference between the reality and fake reality. That's the challenge. So that's awesome that actually companies like Adobe and you guys join forces to set the standards, set the work frame for avoiding that negative part, to making sure that we're moving forward only with the negative part of the technology. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you, Art.
Okay. We are actually managed to address the major topic on the table. And but that's not the end of the show. I have just a very few questions to you, which I have a privilege to ask every guest on the show to let the people who are listening to the show know every person who I'm talking to just a little bit better. All right, let's roll. Question number one: what smartphone do you have now? Have you been switching between these two giants, iOS and Android, or just staying one side all the time?
Okay, well, so I'm an iOS user. I don't have an Android phone, and the reason being is that I'm surrounded by so many screens in my life that actually one more screen would just make my head explode. So unfortunately, just learning about the apps world through iPhone lens.
Got it, fair enough. Do you remember your first mobile phone pre-smartphone era from those days?
Yeah, it was a silver Motorola with a blue screen and a couple of really nice games, but I don't recall the specific name of it.
Okay. Getting back to present, let's imagine you've left your smartphone at home. What would be the most missing feature for you, apart from your face?
Yeah. I think it's a calendar. It's very easy for me to forget something, and therefore, without the calendar, I won't be able to function.
All right, let's think about your iPhone. Are there any tech, could be hardware, software, that you would think wouldn't be great if that thing can do this? And it's not necessarily something trendy, fancy, but what would be that feature for you that would make your iPhone more useful in your life?
Wow, that's an interesting question. I mean, again, the first thought that comes to my mind is kind of the bottle opener, because once I tried to open a beer with keys and I broke the keys. So if iPhone had this functionality, it would be really, really nice because it's always in my pocket.
Yeah, that's actually, it never occurred to me. I remember one of the first apps were lighters. You can kind of light the lighter in your phone and it looked like a real one, but obviously just a video clip. But yeah, bottle opener would be really even nicer. Yeah. It never occurred to me you can use it with your iPhone like this. That's a nice trick.
Not now, so please don't do it with
Okay,
your phone. Maybe the
I'm not
next
gonna break
edition.
my iPhone 12.
Exactly.
Yeah, I promise. All right. Before I let you go, just a very final question. How can people get in touch with you and get more information about what you do, guys?
I think the best way is just LinkedIn. I'm quite often there, and I check the messages. So yeah, please just connect, follow, message me, and would love to have a chat.
All right, terrific. Anton, thank you very much for coming on our podcast. Thank you.
Thank you, Art. Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye. And that was Anton Volovic, COO at Reface. To listen to more episodes, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts. Just search for Business of Apps, and you will find us easily. We release episodes on Mondays, so subscribe, and you will be able to get new episodes on your smartphone, tablet, or computer as soon as we release them. And please don't forget to leave us a review or comment on iTunes. It is highly appreciated. And all episodes will also be available on businessofapps.com. Thank you for listening. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Business of Apps podcast. For more, head on over to businessofapps.com.